Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
We are being recorded, so we can go ahead and begin at any time. You ready?
I am.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is go ahead and give a brief introduction based on the bio that I have on you, so that our audience knows a little bit more about who you are. And I am Karen Thomas from NaturallyHealingAutism.com. And this interview is going to be based around cannabis and the use of medical marijuana. And the Tony is an expert in that. He is actually, this is Tony Verzura, is the chief technical advisor at United Cannabis. He oversees the ACT Now program, which I'll have you describe for us later, and product manufacturing, quality assurance, product development, product training, staffing, brand awareness. And you work hand-in-hand with affiliated partners to help coordinate on boarding the patient program, standard operating procedures, et cetera, worldwide. And it looks like you've been a part of 30 awards, including five-time first-place CBD Concentrate Awards. You've been featured, Tony has been featured on CNBC Money Talk as an honorary guest speaker. He has attended countless cannabis business conferences and events throughout the United States, Jamaica, Canada, Amsterdam, and Spain. And he is also a weekly panelist on the highly publicized educational YouTube show called Hash Church. Yeah.
I know that one. So, that one sounds a little funny, but it's actually very informative, and it's a four-hour broadcast every Sunday.
4 hours every Sunday. Okay, that's Hash, H-A-S-H, Church. I know, that is a pretty funny title.
Yeah.
I'd like to give credit to whoever did create that. So, yeah, Tony, so welcome, and thank you for joining me this morning. I really appreciate your help.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
I have this basically for parents who have children on the autism spectrum. So that's kind of our main focus, although there will be a lot of other listeners. So I would like to have you go over, I mean, I right now I'm sitting here with one of our local papers with three pages on different high grade, you know, come to us kind of thing. And so how does a parent who has a child who maybe knows nothing about this know how to find quality? And safety is a big one. The amount of the drug effects that are, you know, people want to know how much that can be taken out if they're giving it to their child, and the proper procedures, and again, all the safety issues, and then what you see it really used for on your end as well. So if you could just go ahead and give us some great background. When I met you, it was obvious to me that you had a lot of knowledge about this, and that's what I was looking for, an expert. And you know, the information on things like, you know, the terpenes and everything else that you went into, I found very interesting, and I know that our listeners will as well. So if you could just go ahead and tell us some things.
Yeah, so the you had first talked about the ACT Now, which we call it ACT Now, and it stands for Advanced Cannabinoid Therapy. And the mission behind that and the vision behind that was first and foremost to break down cannabinoid therapy to a practitioner, a doctor, and make sense of that to a patient, and lay everything out and put together a system and products that everyone could kind of follow along and make sense of. It's really difficult when a parent first enters this kind of thought process of, okay, maybe cannabis can help my son or daughter with X condition, whether it's epilepsy or autism, seizures, cancer, and things like that. And so when you first peek into the cannabis industry, since there's been, you know, 50-plus years of prohibition and the stigma associated with THC and the quote-unquote euphoric or getting high aspect, you get a lot of strange names for things, and a lot of jargon that just doesn't compute for the average mother or patient that's looking into this, or even a practitioner. So strain names are difficult to find. So in our industry, we know ACDC, Sour Tsunami, Canatonic, Charlotte's Web. Certain strains stand out because of their CBD qualities and because of the recognition of maybe the news and what we've seen. But those things really don't, they still don't really make any sense. And so what we did over the last 4 years, and what I really have been passionate about since 1997 as a patient myself, was how do I take these 800 land races of cannabis strains, or what we call cultivars, and strains is actually not a proper term for them, but cannabis cultivars. There's 808 land races that exist and have existed for thousands and thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years. And this plant's resilient, and it's one of those plants that has gone into different types of species like hemp, Afghanica and Indica drug type varieties. And what we've discovered is that this plant adapts to whatever position of nature it's been put in. And so sometimes the plant has properties or genetics that go dormant, and sometimes they're expressed. And so we have drug cultivar varieties that produce resinous glands, and then we have hemp varieties that don't produce those resinous glands, and they don't produce the terpene profiles or smells or fragrances, aromas that you would see from those drug type varieties. And so once you look at the species and classification, it only makes sense then to break it down into divisions. And so that's what I did over these years, was take the best of the world of our conventional therapy and managing patients and treatment programs that are out there, such as EHR software, so like electronic health records, where doctors or practitioners can actually track patients. There's patient portals. You see this in Kaiser with their patients. It has insurance claims. Patients can be able to schedule to see doctors or practitioners or nurses. And all of those functions and features needed to be developed in the cannabis industry. And so that's really what ACT Now is the it's the robust software and the support system that is there. And on our website, we feature quite a few things on that. We let patients know that it's one and first and foremost HIPAA compliant. A lot of patients are scared that they're going to be on some kind of list. So we created an EHR software that was HIPAA compliant that uses the same robust servers that you would see from Health Fusion, which is in the top 10 in the United States. We allow for nursing patient consultations. We help patients formalize custom cannabinoid therapies with our products. There's built-in 3D libraries. And ultimately, these cannabinoid sequencing charts would be your kind of daily guides. And you can't just treat patients like numbers. And so if you walk into a dispensary and you buy some product, generally that's it. You're kind of like on your own. You've done some research, you buy a product, and then you got to go experiment and figure it out on your own. And so with having a large patient database with different types of conditions, and seeing, say, 100 to 200 different children that have autism, we start to collect this observational data, and we put them into recommendations based on patient-driven results. And so on our website, we explain, you know, the fundamentals of our endogenous endocannabinoid system and why that system exists. A lot of people that are probably listening, it's a very fancy word. For some of them that are listening, it's basically a signaling pathway system that everyone is born with, and it's also found in animals, and it keeps our body in homeostasis, and it is the signaling pathway between our central nervous system and our immune system. So it's a very, very important system, and it's only taught in 4 colleges right now to nurses and doctors. A few years ago it was only 1, but now there's 4 accredited universities where doctors and nurses can get their continued education. on the endocannabinoid system. And what we've learned is we've got receptors in our brain, we've got receptors in our peripheral organs, and we've got receptors throughout our skin. We've discovered how THC, CBD, CBN, different types of cannabinoids turn on and off these different pathways or these receptors. And there's thousands of them. So this is an uncharted new discovery for the science world and the medical community. As we start charting and mapping these different receptors, we're going to learn quite a bit of information on why certain things work the way they do. Why does a 1-to-1 work better than a 3-to-1? And so there are tons of scholarly articles, cancer publications that are out there. We put all of them that are legit, like PubMed and different legitimate articles and publications on our website so that patients and practitioners can and view those things. We also have a breakdown of that endocannabinoid system on there. And we even have something called interactions. So Mayo Clinic does a really good job with breaking down the interactions with other drugs. And a lot of people in the cannabis industry, they try to avoid that as if cannabis is 100% safe and you could never have any kind of side effects except, you know, the classic, I'm getting hungry, giggling, and falling asleep. But all of that is not actually true, especially when you start delivering these types of compounds in a pharmaceutical delivery method, and now you're competing with other types of drugs like naproxen, Motrin, Plavix, different things like that, blood thinners, things like this can have an effect on insulin and sugar. And there's cautions that are out there. Just like they have an enzyme test for other drugs, if you ever go in and you say, okay, I would like to take a $2,000 test that your insurance pays for, and they break down your enzyme genetic test and it tells you all of the drugs that exist through FDA in the entire world, and they give you a little green light, an orange light, or a red light. And the red light means if you take this, chances are it's fatal. And so every drug has these safety profiles. So when we talk about the safety of cannabis, it's important to know what's out there as far as the articles, the publications, what the National Cancer Institute is putting out there, what's the endocannabinoid system, and then ultimately where are the safety profiles. And so as far as THC is concerned, in a safety profile, we are looking at safety profiles in comparison to, say, Tylenol or an opiate. Opiates are 1 in 10. Tylenol is 1 in 100. And THC is 1 in 50,000. And what that means is if you take 10 times the recommended dose of opiates, it can be a fatal dose. So we're not dealing with fatality risk with cannabis or cannabinoid therapies, but we are dealing with potential interactions with pharmaceutical drugs and mixing this type of alternative medicinal supplement, if you will. And patients need to know that. And so you just can't go out there blindly and mix a whole bunch of things together and think that it's going to be okay. And so this is also part of why we took the extra step to include all of these services that I've been mentioning. The nurses are free, included in our products. The patient portal and the support that we offer those patients through this Act Now program is all included in the cost of the medicine. So all of your follow-ups are included. And it's important because when we sit you down and we do a consultation and we say, okay, you have autism, you know, your child's 13 years old, severe autism, nonverbal, we know that comes with certain things. There's a particular appetite and there's a particular diet that that patient's going to be, keen to. And if you change certain elements of food or you change the taste of something, they're very, very, very perceptive to that. And, if the medicine doesn't taste right or doesn't make them feel right, they're going to let you know in their own way. And so all of these things, we spent a lot of time laying out this process, mainly because cannabis products are not insured. And so, you know, if you leave it up to the patient to pay the extra amount of money for their medicine, and then you have to pay the extra amount of money to see the nurse and to get these follow-up appointments, chances are they're not going to do it. So we just built it in there, included on our side with United Cannabis. So
could you give us the website that you're talking about, where people could go to your website to get information, and so they can know if they want to also take that test for their child to see if their children would have any reactions, or, you know, because people are very, very concerned about the safety issues, of course, because, again, this is new to most people.
Yeah, so it's actnowprogram.com. That's actnowprogram.com. And the sign up is for free. Like I said, you can speak to, we could schedule pretty much within 48 hours, you'll be able to speak to a nurse. And there's also a section on there under patients, what we have, patient stories. We had quite a bit of them loaded up from Colorado, and we kind of rotate through them, and we're actually going to be updating a bunch of new ones with leukemia and PTSD. But right now, I'm looking at it right now to make sure that it is live. Yes, there is a 30-minute HD video of A Hope for Autism by William. He is a 13-year-old autistic patient, severe nonverbal. I went on Autism TV as well about 2 years ago. It's a channel from Florida. And, you know, I was very new. You know, when we talk about patients being new to cannabis, I was also very new to how autism worked. You know, I think that as we grow up, we kind of barely touch different kind of subjects in school. And unless you're kind of in the medical or in the science world, especially in the medical world, you're not really sure what autism is. And so I learned quite a bit from this mother and these different patients that we were interacting with. And, you know, this particular mother that's on this video, she was a very conservative non-believer. And I say non-believer, she did not believe that cannabis was something that was going to help her son. She's very conservative, very religious, someone that just tried everything. And when I met her, she showed me a lot of videos of, you know, kids that were going through puberty, 14, 15 years old. They were, you know, it seemed like doctors didn't know what to do. They would give them steroids, and they would give them different types of drugs, and the rage and the meltdowns were, to me, horrific. I the first time I saw what severe autism was like, I was in tears. You know, it was really emotional for me. I had no idea that, you know, there wasn't a lot of answers. And when I compare, you know, conventional or what the doctors are saying for this child to take versus, well, let's try a natural herb or a supplement and see if we can help correct some of the behaviors and help you manage, and I mean you, the mother, manage her son and give them a little bit of an opportunity. And the biggest concern, which really hits at home, is what happens when they're gone. You know, he has a sister, doesn't have grandparents, and he's not going to have parents as he gets older. And there's severe concerns with the future of where he's going to be. And to see your child go through that much anguish and that much frustration, it's got to be unbelievable. So my hearts are out to every parent that's out there and patient out there dealing with autism. It was a big opening, eye-opener for me, and you know, to see that type of world. And so this video, I personally went to their home and I filmed the video, and I wanted to provide a story for people that were out there that maybe didn't know about cannabis and didn't know what options there were. So there is a video on there that is up for anyone to view on that website under the patients and patient stories. It's one of the tabs there. I try to put everything in chronological order with the endocannabinoid system, how the programs work, the products, patient stories, efficacy, articles, interactions, and things like that. I think it's extremely important to educate yourself on all of that stuff prior to diving into the products. So I wanted to lay all that out first, and then we could kind of dive into the actual products and why we created what we did.
Can you give us a couple of I'm sure everybody would love to go and probably will go see the video, but just briefly, can you give us some of the results that you saw with this 13-year-old boy, the changes that you saw in him?
Yeah.
Due to the cannabis?
So sometimes they take me back, you know, when you see these when you see these big changes. If you're not human, you're not crying. You know, it's just emotional. So what happened was he was barely in school. It was hard for him to go to school for more than an hour. He could never, anytime he'd have to go to see the dentist, for an example, meltdowns. They, unbelievable parents, they've sacrificed everything. They have their entire house set up with monitors, cameras. I think they should get an award. They had like an indoor pool, like a short type of pool. And she was they kind of go through life, his particular life and where he was at before. And we decided to do microdosing in a sublingual and start with 1 milligram at a time. And we decided to use a particular product that I felt was going to help. It helped with autoimmune conditions and things like that, and we used a 1-to-1, and we started with microdosing in a sublingual. And at first, he had to get used to that, so they were trying to put it into his food, but I think he was very perceptive of that. And so I said, why don't I come over and maybe if he sees me, then he will have a connection with maybe the medicine. And so I spent some time with the family, and he started to take the sublingual drops. To my surprise, he was sticking out his tongue after about 4 days because of the results. And what happened was he was able to go to school. His first couple days in school, they weren't only an hour. They didn't send him home after an hour. He was able to go, 3-4 hours. Their first report was someone from school. I think it was one of the gym teachers had wrote the mother saying, "Hey, I don't know what happened to William, but something changed, and he seems more friendly, and he was wearing his protective headgear and things like that." She's like, "He's not as violent, and he's not reaching out, and he seems more socially aware." And so she started getting these reports back that he was doing better in school, he was more focused, he was calm, he wasn't reaching out, and he wasn't getting sent home. And appetite's been a big thing. So we started to use some of the other sublinguals, and we started to infuse that into his smoothies and some of his other foods. I think they were taking like some kind of fruit, I think it's like a kefir fruit and omega oils, something that they were giving him in the morning that was really good. It was like a very good smoothie, and it already had omegas and oils and things like that in it. So we infused it into a smoothie to try to help him with his appetite. And then he had, like, within a week of that starting the program, he had to go to the dentist. And so I had given him another one of the sublinguals, which we'll talk about these products. They're using 3 of them right now. One of them was a P4, which is CBD and CBN together. And he went to the dentist And normally he has to be boarded and strapped for this type of procedure. And this is in the video, and the mother talks about it. And this is when she really called me, and she knew there were some big changes. He went to the dentist. He did not have to be bored. He didn't have to be strapped down. The dentist had been seeing William for a long time and was blown away. He's like, I've just never seen him like this. He was calm. He wasn't having meltdowns, and his anxiety wasn't through the roof. And, you know, he's nonverbal, so he only expresses himself sometimes with violence and things. So he wasn't doing any of that. So the violence went down. The meltdowns dissipated. His focus in school was better. His attitude towards people were better. And his appetite increased. And so this has been a couple years now with William on the program. And I can tell you that... you know, any time that they get low on that medicine, or God forbid they ever run out, you know, I hear it, three, four times a day. And I try to do, you know, we do everything we can now. This is in Colorado, where it was kind of spotty, and, you know, trying to get things done in a state that's going through a transition between medical and adult use. But, yeah.
Does William live in Colorado also?
William lives in Colorado. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in Colorado, or one of the, you know, the states that is a little bit more accepting, I'll say, is it easy enough to still get a medical prescription from somebody, or how do you go about that? Is that through the ACNA program as well?
So we don't do the scripts. That is the challenge, I'll be honest with you. Right now, we were in Colorado, and, you know, I don't know how to put it this way, but we tried, you know, the state went through some changes. The state was not making it on medical cannabis alone. They were underfunded, they were under budgeted, and there was a chance that the experiment in Colorado could collapse. And the Medical Marijuana Enforcement Division has changed to just the Marijuana Enforcement Division. And they passed what's called A64. So Colorado does have a constitutional amendment for medical cannabis, and they now have a constitutional right for adult use. And you would think that adult use was going to open this up for anyone in the United States or world that could come to Colorado and purchase this type of medicine, but in fact, it actually restricted it. And the reason why they restricted it is they looked at the adult use in milligrams. So you can't get a quote-unquote edible or capsules or sublinguals with more than 100 milligrams in the container. And so that's because they didn't want people eating brownies, and they didn't want people eating puppy chow and different types of, you know, edibles and driving around. And, you know, I think responsibility is key when you're talking about adult use. And I personally, I don't recommend smoking, and I don't recommend eating edibles to patients anymore. But a lot
of the hallucinogenic properties have been taken out, though, haven't they?
So that was the other thing. We went through the public health department, and they wanted to make all of our products activated. And activated means psychoactive, which means heat was used. And so I spent a lot of time priding myself on making them non-activated or non-psychoactive. And the public health department didn't understand that. They were like, well, you have to activate it. I'm like, well, I mean, there are people out there and patients out there that don't want to get high, but they want all the medicinal benefits. And they were like, well, what do you mean? I was like, well, I mean, this is what I patented. This is everything. And so we had to get approval for the product, which we did. It took 5 months, and they tried to restrict us, and we tried to move some licenses around, and they put it on the back burner for like a good 10 months. So patients that were getting access to the product no longer could really get access to the product in Colorado. And in that same time, we launched a full operation in California, and piloted this program with Harborside in Oakland and selected them because they are considered to be one of the most forefront for medical patients. They have a humongous database for farmers. They have a humongous database for patients. And we felt that we could reach a much larger patient database with a much stronger and robust support from, implementing this into Harborside. And the difference is, I would say 1,000 to 1,500 patients a day. And being able to have full access to any type of cultivar and manufacturing the products to standards that we couldn't really able to do in Colorado. And so Harborside is a community-based health center that actually provides the genetics for these CBD cultivars to their farmers. Those farmers then grow them and then sell them back into Harborside, and then they go back into the products. So we were able to increase the product line, increase production, increase access, support, and standardization in a facility in California. So California is not that hard to get a, what they call a script. There's many ways to do it. They basically, I think their requirement is a utility bill or having an address. And then you just have to see a doctor, and you can get your script for, I think it was about $100, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more. But, a lot of the patients that were in Colorado or coming from around the country to Colorado have now migrated over to California as we try to relaunch the program and things like that in Colorado. It's devastating for a lot of the patients that were there in Colorado as well as us. People thought it was intentional. But, I just think that when the state started making their adult use tax money and getting applications and licenses, and their bandwidth and their vision very quickly started catering to the adult use and started to restrict the medical cannabis side, and a lot of the cultivators and a lot of the business owners as well, I won't say abandoned medical cannabis, but definitely it got shadowed greatly. And so that's not our mission, and that was never our intention. And I never got into the cannabis industry to go into a full-blown adult use. I mean, I'm all for regulation and making this particular plant legal and having adults make those choices and responsibility. But I feel that medical cannabis, and especially what we're doing, is in this very strange time period, and where, there's a rescheduling of the of this particular plant, and now the DEA is talking about going to a 2. And if it goes to a 2, 3, or 4, just like Marinol, which is synthetic THC, which you can get a prescription for and your insurance pays for, 1, 2, 3, or 4 would require a pharmacist to distribute. And so what we've been hoping for and gearing up for was, let's take this amazing plant, let's break it down into these products, into accurately dosed medicine. Let's take the boogeyman out of the equation, meaning, it doesn't have to be activated. You don't have to get high from it. And let's put it into a pharmaceutical delivery method and something that we could all stand behind, and hopefully one day insurance would cover it. And so that is why we transitioned into United Cannabis, why we went public, and why we put patents on it, so that we could have a standing fighting chance in the pharmaceutical and nutraceutical sector, as this industry and this experiment in laws and things like that from state to state kind of unfold. I'm not somebody that is CBD-only legislation. I believe in CBD legislation, but not CBD-only. I think there's, tremendous amount of medical value in this plant that's still undiscovered. And for us to close our eyes and say, okay, it's just CBD, it's just not an intelligent move.
Yeah, absolutely. So again with these like Colorado, Oregon, California, what are the states? You said it's also something that the Harborside in Oakland, they require an address or a utility bill. Is that to say that you live in California or that you live in one of the other states that it's okay to have it in? Where do you need to be able to have an address or a utility bill to prove that you live to have it? And then again, is there a little bit more direction maybe for the parents as far as who to go to look for getting one of these scripts so that their child can be seen?
Yeah, I would tell you the one place I went to, and I'm not advertising for anyone in particular. I know if you go to the Harborside Health Center, I think they have some links for it. Let me look right now. Harborside Health Center.
The Harborside.
So that would be harborsidehealthcenter.com. Harborsidehealthcenter.com. Let's see here. What's really nice about that is they have three locations, two that are open, the third one they just got, and they do deliver to 40 different cities. And we are going to be expanding this out throughout the entire state. I am looking for where they can do this. Let's see here. I remember seeing it one time on their website where it was. Frequently asked questions. Place in order, the medical cannabis patient. Okay, they do have this. Okay, so if you go to their website under About, frequently asked questions, how do I become a California medical patient ID? Do you require the state ID or CMCP ID? Do I need to sign anything? There's a bunch of information here that can walk somebody through that. I can tell you my experience. I went through, I think it was MedoMD. Let me make sure that's right.
What did you take it for? What was your issue, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, mine is... Unfortunately, I've been in a lot of car accidents that were not my fault, and I was a passenger. And it started even with my mother and my stepmother. I don't know why, but as a kid, I was prone to getting cars slamming into us. And then in college, I was in another car accident. I was a passenger in. So I have herniations in L4, L5, T8. C6. I was thrown from a motorcycle like an idiot when I was younger. I've been a couple motorcycle accidents, dislocated shoulders, blew out my ACL, MCL. I broke my big toe, which I'm still dealing with. And I've got a lot of like chronic pain, nerve pain, sciatica, joint muscle pain, suffered from migraines, and I once upon a time, you know, in 97, when that first car accident hit, they put me on oxycodone, which was a great new drug at the time, and I think I lost about 70 pounds in 6 months.
Oh.
And, yeah, I started, I remember very, very distinctively, like, I would call him a hippie back then, but because he had long dreads, and he was a friend, and I was playing chess with him, and he was smoking cannabis. And he said, "Man, you look really bad." And I was like, "Oh, thanks." He said, "No, for real. You basically was just in a car accident 6 months ago, and I don't really recognize you. What are you doing?" I was like, "I don't know. I'm just taking these pills for this pain." And he's like, "Yeah, but you're not eating. You're not sleeping. You look horrible. You look like you're going to die." And he said, "I think you need to smoke some herb." It's like what he said to me. And I was like, "Smoke herb?" And I was like, "No, man, I'm in college. Like, you know, I don't want to do that." Like, I was not, my mind wasn't there quite yet. And, you know, and I just, it was like, I wasn't really into any of that kind of stuff. And I smoked a joint with him, and I remember getting hungry. I mean, I know it sounds funny, but like when you're on opiates like that, you don't have an appetite. You can't go to the bathroom. You're basically starving your, you know, blocking out your nutrition, and you're starving yourself from the inside. And you don't even realize it. You're just like really dependent on the psychology of like you think you need this pill for your pain. And it's, you know, every month that went by, it was like you felt like you needed more.
But you're not really getting better. You're just masking symptoms.
You're just getting worse. Yeah, you're just, you're like, I mean, I'd be days without eating. You know, I couldn't go to the bathroom. I was constipated. And but I remember I smoked a joint. I was hungry. I was, like, laughing for the first time. And he's like, hey, let's get some food. And he was real nice. And, you know, I was like, hey, do you want to do this again tomorrow? So we'd play chess and we'd smoke a joint. And then he said, hey, you know, this I'm not – he's, I'm glad this thing helps for you. But, you know, like, this stuff actually costs a lot of money. And at the time in the 90s, I think it was, like, $50 or $60 an eighth, and so I was like, "Oh yeah," I wasn't really thinking about it because I was feeling good, and every day I'd, I think in the afternoon after school, I'd play chess with him, and I was smoking, and I was feeling good, and I was eating, and I was like, "Hey, you know, I started to get a little bit better sleep," and then he said, "Yeah, you know, you probably don't need those pills anymore. You probably could just, you know, grow cannabis if you wanted, and you know, this and that," and so. I actually started growing cannabis for myself, and I started to make butter and make oils with them. And I started to use them in my toast, and I started to cook all kinds of foods. I mean, I made little dishes like tortellini, THC tortellini. I had these little nicknames for the different meals that I was making. And, like, within a month, I cut all the opiates. And I was just using cannabis, and I was eating it in every way I could, and it brought me back. I started gaining weight. I started sleeping. I was regulating kind of the way I was. But it didn't really, you know, honestly, I was pretty stoned most of the time, and I had to, like, disengage from college at that time and restart because I had a really bad year from the accident. And I had a bad year with just going through all that. You know, I had to take a step back and then restart. So I ended up moving back down to Florida where the rest of my family was, went back to college and restarted. And what I learned from that experience was I started to work out more. I started to do different types of exercises and stretches to strengthen my abs, strengthen my lower back, put the right foods in my body, surround myself with the right people and support. And I didn't really have to continue such a heavy dose of cannabis usage at that point because I kind of got through most of it.
Is that what generally happens, is if you're on it for a while that your system starts to get healthier and you need a little, essentially a little bit less over time?
I see that a lot. So with most of the patients, that's what happens is imagine if, this is how I describe the endocannabinoid system. Imagine in one hand, in our left hand, we had a block with 100 pins. And in our right hand, we had a block with 100 holes. And when we put these two together, it's like a circuit. These long pins fit inside this block. And if that was our endocannabinoid system, and on the left hand, our central nervous system, and our right hand was our immune system, and we go to put them together, we create electricity. And if we have a healthy, functioning endocannabinoid system, then all of those pathways and signaling pathways are working correctly. But imagine if we take 10% of those pins out in random, and we put the plug together, we still have electricity. There's still a 90% connectivity. But let's say that that 10% of those pins represented autoimmune. It represented fibromyalgia. It represented autism. And what I found is that the difference between opiates and cannabinoids or even steroids or things is that there are synthetic drugs that go in and they say, okay, I recognize that this 10% of these pins are removed. And what they're going to do is just plug those holes and they're going to tell your brain that they don't exist and that they're going to redirect the information in the pathways to the other pins. And then for short term, you know, like surgeries, we have knee surgery or back surgery. I don't suggest taking cannabis to go into surgery. That's not something I would do myself. But, you know, we have specialists that create these cocktails that okay, you're not going to feel anything, you're going to go under, and you're going to wake up in 3 hours from the surgery. These are specialized, trained professionals that know what they're doing with these particular types of drug cocktails, if you will. And for me, that is the place for displacing those pathways. It's a short path, short-term correction so that you can get through something. But opiates, in a long term, they for them to plug those holes, it's going to create a long-term problem with your organs, with your functioning, cognitive function, particular side effects. And what cannabis does, particularly our endocannabinoid system, is they work in three fashions. There's preventative, there's management, and then there's regenerative, which no one ever really talks about. And one of the scientists that's on our United Cannabis page, you could read about him, that's Brent Reynolds. He co-discovered stem cells in 1988 and neurospheres, and currently has 18 gateway patents on the neurotransmitters. And he proved the century-old dogma that our adult mammal brain couldn't reproduce brain cells. So, you know, the whole idea of smoking pot's going to kill your brain cells, not true. And what's fascinating about our relationship is that we're trying to get, you know, there's prevention and management. We're trying to get into the next chapter, which, you know, will reveal itself in the next 5 years, which is regenerative. And the reason why is because we find that with CBD and how it reacts with receptors, particularly with beta-carotene, that actually turns on particular receptors. And that's a terpene that's found in other fruits and vegetables, but it's also prevalent in cannabis. The terpene paired with CBD works amazing for post-trauma, recovery after seizures, shortening the amount of seizures, cognitive function improvement. All kinds of different conditions can be managed with that. And part of the fundamental reasoning behind that is the way our endocannabinoid system works, and cannabinoids as a supplement, going back to those 10% of the pins missing, if cannabinoids are, if there's a deficiency, and there's a clinical condition, it's an endocannabinoid deficiency. If we have a deficiency and those pins aren't firing, the supplement, if you will, our medicine that we're putting in capsule or sublingual, is going into those receptors, and they're trying to repair the pathways. So they're doing quite the opposite of the opiates. The opiates are saying, nope, we're going to cut them off. They don't exist. Go around. Cannabis goes in there and says, okay, I'm going to be a gatekeeper here, and I recognize that there's something wrong in the way that this brain is signaling to this condition, and I want to try to repair it. So that discovery right there is very profound in the fact that we can use cannabinoids as a supplement, not only as a medicinal food, but as a supplement for repairing pathways within those two systems. And so very, very, very interesting when you start to pair those things with fatty acids, lipids, black teas, different types of synergies with foods. It kind of all starts to really make sense when you lay out the pH lifestyle, meaning looking at the foods on the pH spectrum and saying, okay, sugars, milks, soys, lots of high meat, you know, sodas, all of these things are very low on pH. Kale, Himalayan salt, you know, cacao powder, like these superfoods are very high on the pH. And I think it all kind of ties down to inflammation, and it ties down to these receptors building particular, like plaque, if you will, or getting clogged. Or a deficiency in the endocannabinoid system, which isn't producing proper cannabinoids. And so, you know, when people start to discover that we're born with this system, we have receptors, and we actually produce our own cannabinoids. It's found in breast milk. There's fundamental building blocks within ourselves that we have ignored for a very long, long time. And once we start to integrate that particular type of naturopath medicine into our foods, and we start to create that synergy, then I think we have a better opportunity to first explore that as our first option instead of our last resort. That's the thing I see with patients. We have reached our last result. We have tried chemo. We have tried all drugs. We have tried every single thing, and you're our last hope. Instead of someone saying, you know, I want to try cannabinoid therapy as an alternative homeopathic exploration first. And
because they fear it at first, yeah. A lot of people are afraid to go there, so they'll try everything else. And when they have no other options, they think, well, I might as well. It can't hurt. And then they find out that it's helpful.
Yeah, and that's and that is what that patient's story was about. We were talking about that. It's
right, it's William, the 13-year-old boy.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I got to tell you something. It's once the fear is down, like with many patients with epilepsy, seizures, Dravet syndrome, Dandy Walker syndrome, we see a lot of very complex cases where, you know, one little girl would have autism with Dravet, with, you know, she was like, Taya was another video, well, we're going to rotate up there, but she was having like 90-something seizures a week. She was on stimulant for her neck and her back because she was convulsing so much. She was literally micro-breaking her bones. Her GI was, she'd never gone to the bathroom properly. She was, her cognitive function as an 11-year-old was about a 2-year-old. She weighed 35 pounds. Just in the absolute most severe case you could possibly imagine. And lo and behold, 27 milligrams a day of a 3-to-1 non-active sublingual in her feeding tube has reduced that by 95% and to 99%, maybe one seizure a month if she even notices it. And her cognitive function has improved with a speech coach from a 2-year-old to like a 9-year-old in the course of a year. And she's communicating, she's got motor skills, she's got a healthy, clean GI path. And when you see these, you know, you see something like that, or I just filmed a leukemia patient who is a military man who is completely against cannabis and was diagnosed and was put into the hospital 3 times. And the first 2 times, the doctor said, listen, you have a very rare case of leukemia, and the only thing we have for you is an experimental chemo drug, and it's not known to work. And there's about a 30% chance that it might work. We've never really seen it work. That's what they told him. And the second time they're in the hospital, he developed, and you know, with leukemia, it's really a viral thing. You develop a lot of bacteria and viruses and things like that, and that's usually what gets them. And his third time, they said, look, you know, this is not, didn't help the first time, didn't help the second time. You need to write your will out, and you've got about 4 weeks, and we're going to keep you in the hospital, and we're going to monitor you until you pass away. Well, those kids came to Harborside, his daughter and son. They got the P2 non-active 3-to-1, 50 milligrams for the day, and they got the 1-to-1 active 50 milligram at night, and they started feeding him and secretly dosing his food and his feeding tubes. And I'm not kidding you, in 3 weeks, the doctor let him out of the hospital. This was in November, and I've been very busy, I've got a, you know, several hundred of these stories that I'm now catching up with from when we first launched this program, but he's been trying to tell a story, and he told this story last week. It's the next video. He's in full remission. He's in full remission. His doctor was blown away. I have 2 more right behind it. And so what that tells me is, and we don't sell that. We don't promote this on our website. I don't ever say that cannabis is a cure. To him, he feels like it's cured him. I told him, you know, there's a holding dose. And when you're talking about saturation and then managing, we see that. So if you have severe arthritis and your fingers and feet are cramped up and you're crying from pain, chances are I'm going to saturate your endocannabinoid system. I'm going to give you lots of supplements, daytime and nighttime program so that you can function and not be high during the day and give the activated stuff at night while you're sleeping. Mm. And we saturate cancer patients. We saturate severe pain patients. And what we do is once they get to once they're in a remission or they're in a state of managing, we start to bring that down and we titrate that back down and you monitor that. And everybody's pain and everybody's system is completely different. So those dosaging is different, and that's why you have to have a nurse to monitor it. And we do follow-ups because one patient might be very, very, very sensitive to cannabinoids, where the other patient's enzyme and the way their genetics are made, they could take a higher dose. And so that's why we developed three different delivery methods, because if you're eating a whole bunch of our capsules and you're getting, you know, a 50% result, but it's costing you, might be costing you more than it should, we might switch that to a topical with a sublingual or a combination therapy where you're using two delivery methods or three delivery methods, but it's in micro doses or it's in a particular delivery pattern to where it's more efficient in that process. So many times, you know, you'll go through this like period of trying to find your way, but ultimately for like autism or epilepsy, MS, things that are chronic and kind of in the same daily program, it's going to be fairly the same. There might be days where, you know, you got to go to the dentist and you don't want to have your child have a meltdown, so you would use that rescue formula, that P4, and you would give it to him before he went to the dentist. But you definitely have a way to manage those things, and there's a way to monitor it as well.
Wow. So. Well, Tony, you have been amazing. I mean, really, this has been so informative. I've learned so much, and I know that our listeners have, and I truly appreciate your expertise and the efforts you're making too with helping this get to people who need it, and all of your time that you have shared with us. And I just wanted to one last time. So basically, for parents or people who are looking to find high quality and be able to learn how they can get it for their child, and if it's right for their child, they should go to the HarborsideHealthCenter.com website. Is that the best place to send people?
Yeah.
And look at ActNowProgram.com as well.
Yep. And then Meadow, there's a website that I use for my medical marijuana evaluation, which you can do online. It's MeadowMD.com. So MeadowMD.com is a place that I got mine. And between that Harborside Frequently Asked Questions and our Act Now page, they can access that. And I would encourage, we didn't really touch base on the actual products, but as you can tell, I'm a pretty thorough person, and I wrote all of the content of the products on our Act Now program, actnowprogram.com. There is what's called Prana Overview. The name of the product is actually called Prana. It was something that I felt was fitting in the sense that it means, the universe, breath of life. And on that page, there's a product overview, and it shows five different categories. It shows capsules, sublinguals, and it shows topicals. Everything we do is hypoallergenic. It is plant-based. There are no chemicals used in it. There are no GMOs. It is gluten-free, glucose-free, glycerin-free, alcohol-free, zero-calorie, and you have choices. You have the choices between raw and activated. I think I am the first to really push the raw line of cannabinoids. And when we talk about raw, there is a section after the product overview that's called Pranalogic that actually has an understanding prana biomedicinals, and it breaks down conditions with the different five categories. Three of those categories are in raw and active, and the other two are just activated, just in the nature of what those compounds are. And it really breaks down and explains each category of what's in them, as well as the cultivars, as well as the terpene profiles. So you get a really good breakdown of ratios, cultivars, terpenes, how they're being used, what to combine them with, how to make your own ratios, and generally those particular categories of which they're good for, everything from arthritis, pain relief, tumors, appetite, nausea, mood, creativity, depression, migraines, energy, neuropathic relief, IBS, Crohn's, cancers, different types of cancers, PTSD, autism, dystonia, muscle spasms, you name it. We've been taking this data and we've been categorizing them. And I thought P1 through P5 was a hell of a lot easier than, you know, telling you to take AC/DC, Harlequin, and Pennywise, and a little bit of Sour Tsunami, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's confusing enough when you kind of look into something new. You think, well, which one would be right for my child? And you need some direction, and you have to look at their symptoms and you know, kind of their, basically their personal needs, because everybody's so individualized. And all of that is on the actnowprogram.com. Sorry.
Yeah. So if you get overwhelmed, it's really easy. You call the 1-800 number, or you sign up and you say, you know, I've got the script, or I can get access to the medicine, which is the first step. And the second step is learn everything you can about the endocannabinoid system online, check out the publications, look through all the products, and then you reach out to the nurse, and the nurse is going to say, okay, you know, based on the last 100 patients or 50 patients that have autism in this particular category, in this particular weight size, let's start with one thing. Let's start small. Let's start microdosing. And that generally takes the fear out, because mm-hmm. when you look at bioavailability of our products versus eating an edible or smoking or taking a standard tincture, we have bioabsorptions at 325%, and we're infusing them into fatty acids and lipids that are healthy for your body. So they're getting absorbed not through the liver and not taxing on the liver like an activated edible would be. And when you're dealing with non-activated cannabinoids in 1 milligram dosing, especially with a sublingual, then that kind of puts the power in the parent's hands, because in our sublinguals, they're in boil-proof bottles, oven-proof bottles, and boil-proof labels. And so on the back, there's actually directions of how to activate it at home. And what many patients do, or parents for patients, they'll take that P3 and they'll say, okay, you can get a pure CBD. Our P5 has no THC. Our P4 has no THC. It's CBD and CBN. Our P3 is 1-to-1, CBDA and THCA. Our P2 is a 3-to-1, and our P1 is THCA. And so you can get the non-activated P3 1-to-1. That's what we use for autism. And we actually activate it because we found activating it has a very good balance, sedative balance, without having that stone high quality. But what parents are doing is they're taking the non-activated, they're buying another dropper at, let's say, Whole Foods, and they're taking half of their medicine out. And then they're putting our bottle in the oven, and they're putting in the oven at 290 degrees for 2 hours. And now they have an activated formula and a non-activated formula in the power of 1 milligram drops. And 1 milligram under the tongue is about as small as you want to start. And you can start with non-active, so you could feel very comfortable, and you could also experiment with the active there at home for one product. I can tell you for William, what William is, his particular program, and many that have severe autism in this case, their P3 1-to-1 activated sublingual is their daily manager. The P4, which is CBD and CBN, is what they're using for nighttime, like 2 to 4 drops under the tongue for going to sleep and for rescue if he goes to the dentist. And the P1, that is THCA, which is non-active, is being infused into his foods first thing in the morning, or his smoothie, to help with appetite. So it's a non-psychoactive approach. Anytime your ratios are even or your CBD is higher than your THC, then you're not going to have a profound reaction like you would smoking. The delivery method is, you know, by far, in my opinion, the best, sublingual. It's not something you smoke, so you're not activating with heat. You're not getting a very, you know, profound psychoactive experience. You're not eating an edible that goes through your liver. This is something that goes right into the blood. It's glandular. Every patient seems to like it. It's not some funky, weird smell or has ethanol or anything strange. It's very elegant, and it's, you know, it's infused with cannabis terpenes that, you know, you would associate to, say, oranges or lemons or mint, clove, sage, different things like that. You know?
Okay. And can you, do you happen to have that 800 number that you mentioned in
yeah.
front of you? Or did...
Yeah. So that is, you can call 1-877-396-4245. Again, that's 1-877-396-4245. You could also email info@actnowprogram.com. Again, that's info@actnowprogram.com. And on the website, there is a sign-up button. The sign-up button is fairly self-explanatory. It's very simple. First name, last name, email, phone number, date of birth, and then you check off your conditions. So if you have autism with autoimmune, with MS or something else, you can check the boxes off. You can pick your medical center, which would be Harborside in this case, and you hit submit. It goes to our database. You'll get an email, and we follow up within, you know, 24, 48 hours.
Awesome. Okay. Wow. That's what people really need to know, along with all of this. So, wow, again, thank you so, so much for all of your information. I will definitely put this on my website at naturallyhealingautism.com. This radio show will be available ongoing so people can access it. And I'll send all of that to you as well, Tony. So again, thank you very, very much for your time and your expertise and all that you're doing, because I know it's a journey, and to educate people to make it acceptable is a challenge. And there's so many people that need it. So again, efforts definitely appreciated. And I know that you're a busy guy too, so I appreciate you giving us all of this time that you have for this interview.
Yeah.
And we will definitely be in touch.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. I was a big fan when I met you. Lots of respect for you and everything that you're also doing. And if I could ever help you again or come on, or you want to spotlight one of these parents with patients on your show, just let me know. And they will be glad to voice their opinion.
that would be fabulous. Yeah, I'll definitely be in touch with you about that. That would be great. I'm sure that parents love to hear from other parents too, you know, that have been through it and their experiences, because, you know, it's quite a personal journey. And like you have found with the people you've worked with, it's a pretty intense journey. So, you know,
intense.
Knowing to connect with other people that are living that life or have lived it, that's where I came into this as well. I healed my own son of the symptoms from autism with all natural resources. So that's where my book, Naturally Healing Autism, came from, and now my website and my radio show, and I'm developing a video program that I'm walking parents step by step through the process to heal their children, all natural resources and how exactly to do it. So, you know, obviously you were touched as well. You had your own personal experiences with this product, and it drove you to, you know, maybe that's why you had to be in all those horrible car accidents so that you could end up in pain so you could find cannabis and share it with the world with people who need it. You know, we all come into it for our own special reasons, and hopefully we then use it to, you know, help mankind with it somehow, right?
Yeah, I think that those that are listening, that you know, maybe they don't have the the right, call it eating lifestyle. I don't like to call it a diet. But there's a lot of doctors out there that don't put emphasis enough on what we put into our body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had my grandmother lived with me that had cancer, and she was given 6 months, and she lived 6 years with us. We went all natural path, all raw. You know, we did a blend of raw and cooked foods. But, you know, the things that we put into our body are sacred, and they are little bundles of information, if you will. They're nutrient dense, but they communicate in our body. And, you know, if we keep putting stuff that's bad in our body, it's going to build up to be plaque, and it's going to cause constant conditions in our society. I think that the world is waking up to this, and, you know, from sustainable farming to farm to table. I think we're getting back into going from industrial agriculture to you know, community-based farming and community-based foods. And there's a lot of very good companies out there that put things out there. I personally, since I actually met you, I decided to change my whole eating lifestyle and said, you know, I'm gonna eat as if I also had cancer and I had different mm-hmm. conditions. And it's a preventative. And I've lost 15 pounds, bad pounds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
you could feel your body just shedding off that nastiness that can plague our body. And so, you know, I commend you on the things that you've done. I've looked into everything you've been doing. And mm-hmm. if you can look at naturopath and you can look at that as a first option, and you look at other things like supplements and you know, homeopathic first before just bowing down to, you know, and giving in to conventional drugs and synthetic drugs, that should be your last resort. You're a living example of it, and many patients that are out there as well. So just
well, the body.
Yeah, go ahead.
The body, you know, can and does heal if it's given the right resources. And not added, you know, toxins and things that are hindering its health. So, yeah, that's definitely what it's about. So, yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, too.
Yeah.
Yep, we're all doing the same thing. Yep, that's what it's about. I've been in the health field for 30 years. So it's really, it really does make a difference long term. You know, if people could just live a healthier lifestyle, you know, there's great farmers markets, local, you know, organic food places everywhere now, and a lot better resources coming up because people are becoming more aware. I have a really great article, a post I did on my blog at naturalhealingautism.com on the dangers of genetically modified food, another one of toxic food chemicals, another one on toxic water. There's various things, so that I'm just basically would like to educate people as much as possible so they are making the right informed decisions for themselves, their children, and, you know, their family. So, yeah. And again, thank you so much, Tony. And, yeah, we'll definitely be in touch. I will get a hold of you about that interview with some parents. That would be a fabulous idea. I'm sure our listeners would really, really love to hear from them.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. You have a great day, Tony. All right. Thank you.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.